Hello, and welcome to episode 15 of A View from the Bridge for the 17th of February 2006. Here at A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views to do with the Coors Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith.
And I'm Aaron Carnahan. This week, a look back at the Giants' trip to Cardiff. Look forward to this weekend's game and next week's game. Quick chat about what's going on around the league. And then a little bit of a look at the MVP discussion that's ongoing on the Kingdom of the Giants forum at the minute.
As always, if you want to get in touch with us here at A View from the Bridge, there's a couple of ways of going about it. You can contact us by email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
And of course, there's the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
Well, it's a quick show tonight because it's a Friday night and I'm looking to go out drinking. So we'll have a look at the games last week against Cardiff. The game last Sunday night against Cardiff.
Yep, last Sunday night, a quiet weekend for the Giants. Fairly quiet period for the Giants at the minute, as obviously we had to front load all the league fixtures, so we're really only playing, you know, one game a week at the minute. So Sunday night we popped across the RSC to Cardiff to play the Devils.
Yes, and we said last week that we haven't played the Devils in nearly 3 months, so they may have been somewhat of an unknown quantity, but it didn't seem to bother the Giants coming off quite clear winners.
Yeah, a 3-0 victory. Which, by all accounts, was didn't exactly test the Giants a great deal. I think that would probably be the best way to put it. Giants got out of the blocks very, very quickly, scored after just a minute and 3 seconds. Ed Courtney managing to slam the puck home from that man, Theo Fleury, who set it up for him. Getting that nice early lead really did sort of settle the Giants down. I mean, as we mentioned last week, Cardiff were the only team really that had performed, you know, had a winning record against the Giants this season, so it was a big win, an important win.
Especially an important win with, we'll talk later about how Newcastle are seem to be creeping up on us, but getting back to the Cardiff game, big game for Mike Menard, getting a shutout in that game.
Yep, his the Giants' seventh shutout of the season. Of course, as we've mentioned in a previous show, he was on a shutout, and Nathan Graves replaced him for the last 10 or so minutes, so I think that shutout's been credited to him, so that's his seventh of the season, which I believe takes the all-time Giants shutout record.
Yes, held previously, of course, by
Martin Klimba.
Yes, indeed, last season now with the Coventry Blaze.
Of course, last season's MVP as well.
Yes, well, maybe that's another thing we can talk about later on the show with the MVP discussions going on. But, as I say, 2 points in the bag, and always good to have as we're fighting for this league.
Yep, and especially, as we've said before, you know, away games are always tricky to win, no matter who it is you're playing and how well they're playing at the time. It's pretty tricky, you know, to go into other teams, especially a rink like Cardiff, which is so small and intimidating, and you have the crowd right on top of the ice, you know, well, not literally, of course, but looking right down on the ice very close. It's a big win, an important win.
Yeah, it's good to have. Right, well, firing on, quick show, as we say. That's what we could quick look around the league. And the main thing I want to talk about is on the show is Newcastle. As I say, they're creeping up on us, Aaron.
Yep, another win for them tonight in Sheffield. 4-2 victory in the House of Tin, which is starting to crumble around the Steelers, really. They're just not playing well at the minute at all. They haven't played well all season, but they seem to be struggling even more. Cardiff look well placed to pass Sheffield. They're only a point behind Sheffield now with 3 games less played. But as you say, the important statistic, the Giants now at the top of the league have 37 games played and 57 points. The Vipers now 35 games played and 49 points. Mm-hmm. So it's getting close. Newcastle travel tomorrow to Basingstoke, which is another game which, to be honest, you would say Newcastle probably should win that.
Yeah, it should be a 2-point banker for them, but it's coming to a point where we really can't afford to slip up anywhere.
No, I mean, they're now, should they win in Basingstoke and should they win on Sunday while we go to Sheffield, you know, there's lots of ifs and buts about it, but basically, we really do. It's still in our own hands, but it's just getting that bit closer now. We've had a big gap at the top, and it's still, even at the minute, looking at it, although there's only the 2 games now, and it's an 8-point gap, but you know, that could all change within the next week, just depending on how we play and how Newcastle play.
Yeah, I prefer nail biting finishes, to be honest. If a team has it wrapped up by Christmas, it doesn't seem to be as interesting as you until you get to the playoffs. But when it involves ourselves, maybe the nail biter is a bit much.
You know, well, I think according to Dave Sims on the Elite League program tonight, that Belfast do have it wrapped up, but I wouldn't go that far myself.
Yeah, I think we were a bit blasé earlier on the season, maybe at the turn of the year, saying that it was ours for the take. But now we realise that because all our games were so front loaded, that teams like Newcastle, who had the games in hand, are winning them and are keeping the pressure on.
They are, and fair play to Newcastle. I mean, this is their first season in this league. I don't think anybody expected them really to be contenders at all. I think most people probably expected that they'd be of a similar level, maybe to Edinburgh, maybe slightly better than Edinburgh, maybe more, you know, around about fifth and sixth place in the league. But nobody expected them to be second, and certainly nobody expected them to be challenging for the title right up to really the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Bodes well for the future of the Elite League if teams can come up and play like that.
I think that's a discussion maybe for the off season.
Right, well then, what about this week's games? On Sunday night, we travel to Sheffield.
Yep, our first trip there in quite some time, since the 2-2 draw that we picked up there back in, was it November?
November, end of November, wasn't it?
Where Nigel gave us all a coronary by screaming at the end of the webcast and then taking about 10 minutes to explain what had actually happened.
We all thought that they'd won the game.
But obviously they hadn't. But hopefully Nigel will be a bit more calm this weekend when he's over there covering the game for on BelfastGiants.com.
Yes.
And I believe that's free as well, so...
Yeah, well worth tuning in if you haven't tuned into the webcast, sorry, before, that Nigel is covering... Sheffield versus Belfast Giants at Sheffield on Sunday nights, which is 6 p.m.
I think it is. Normally it's 6 p.m. in Sheffield on a Sunday.
6 p.m. UK time, and on www.belfastgiants.com. Like we've just been saying, Sheffield have been playing quite poorly, and I'd like to think, although touch wood, that it's a 2-point banker. But in saying that, the curse of the podcast will strike.
It probably will. And of course, as we said, the last time we went over there back in November time, we really thought that was when we were in the middle of that really good run we had, where we won a lot of games in a row and where we're going undefeated. It should have been a 2-point banker as well. Sheffield just seemed to raise their game when they're playing Belfast, and they're always big, you know, always big battles between the two sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, couple of days after our trip to Sheffield, we come back home to visit for the visit of the Cardiff Devils.
Yeah, that's one I'm looking forward to. Obviously, as we said, we hadn't played them for 3 months, and then all of a sudden we've got them twice in the space of 10 days or so. It'd be interesting to see. It could be, I don't want to say this, because as we said, the curse of the podcast, but it could be that depending on how the rest of the weekend goes, maybe... that could be the game. I'll not say what it'll be the game for fear of cursing it, but it could be a very enjoyable night if things work out.
Oh, come on. I tell you what, I hope it's not, because I was going to come home for that game, and if it turns out to be the game, I'm going to feel very bad about not coming home for that game.
Sure, there's the playoffs as well.
Oh, man, can't miss that. I'd like to think that if things go our way, maybe it might be, but hopefully that game will come.
For Wednesday to be our game, we're relying on other teams dropping points, which, to be honest, we don't see happening. Of course, the Giants would then need to win in Sheffield and beat Cardiff, which could be tricky enough. So it's by no means definite, but it would be nice.
No, I'm relying now on the curse of the podcast to strike, which is because it has struck on many an occasion over this season.
Yes, I can now see us finishing second in the league.
Yes, and thus getting blamed for it. But in saying that, the both games are available on www.belfastgiants.com. The Sheffield one will be free. The Cardiff one, I don't think, will be. The firing on even quicker because, like I say, I can hear a beer calling. Bit of a discussion going on. It's the annual Kingdom of the Giants.com Most Valuable Player Award, the longest running Most Valuable Player Award in Giants since the Giants franchise began. And Well, we've got a number. It isn't a clean-cut victory for Ciarán Fleury.
No, there's a lot of arguments being brought up for other players, primarily Mike Menard, the netminder. George Iwata, the captain, has been mentioned quite a few times. And one that, to be fair, hadn't really crossed my mind until it was mentioned in Todd Kelman.
Yeah, Todd Kelman's is definitely one I've considered myself. Unfortunately, I've actually cast my vote at this point. I'll not say for who. But I never considered Todd Kelman until, like you say, it was brought up. Somebody who's been invaluable this season.
He really has. I mean, we've mentioned it before, his Iron Man penalty killing. There was one game in... It was the 2-2 game in Sheffield that we've already mentioned a couple of times, where I believe he played around about 6 solid minutes on the penalty kill at the start of a period, which is just phenomenal at any level, really, to just play 6 solid minutes of hockey. And we've seen him do it at other times during the season where he's played 3-4 minute chunks. He must, he must be logging huge amounts of ice time in every game. He's on penalty kill. He's on the power play. He's chipped in with a lot of goals, a lot of points. Of course, his hat trick a few weeks ago against Basingstoke. It's an interesting choice and one that it may be a bit of an unsung hero rather than an MVP.
And well, he's getting to play with Theo.
Well, considering what he's written, I think he's definitely enjoying that.
Yes, well, maybe I'd say he's trying to make a point to Mr. Fleury. Try and play with him again. But, like you say, Mike Menard's definitely up there and killer.
Going back to Mike Menard, last season's MVP, as we mentioned already, Martin Klempa, picked up 6 shutouts through the season.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Menard's already bettered that with 5 league games left. So there's, but of course, looking back to last year, there were really only two players in the running, in Martin Klempa and, of course, Tony Hand. I think the right decision was made last season with Martin Klempa being chosen overall, despite obviously his little wobble towards the end of the season and in the playoffs. Of course, we've yet to see whether Mike Menard will go the same way in the playoffs, but. Menard's numbers are vastly greater than Martin Klempa's were last year, save percentage wise, goals against average wise, shutout wise. It's not vastly superior, but it is better. So I can see why there's a strong case for Mike Menard.
Two names I'd throw up into the ether, I know they've been mentioned as well on the KingdomOfTheGiants.com forum, are Ed Courtney and, of course, Jason Ruff.
Yeah, regards Ed Courtney, the reason, he's been a revelation. The guy didn't train last summer at all because basically he thought he was retired and he was going to coach from the bench. We didn't quite get a full roster signed at the start of the season. He started playing and there were glimpses of the old Ed Courtney of a few years ago, with some of the old, the old passing moves, some of the finishing. I mean, his finishing's fantastic. The goals he scores, some of them are absolutely brilliant, a great finisher, but he just didn't quite seem to be up to the pace. Maybe it was the lack of fitness. The reason that I would go against Ed Courtney, I think that the main catalyst for his solid play, other than obviously his fitness picking up, was the arrival of Theo Fleury.
Interesting.
It would be interesting to see, looking back at Ed Courtney's stats for the season, how many of his goals were scored before Theo Fleury arrived, how many have been scored since Theo Fleury arrived, and how many of those ones since Theo Fleury arrived Theo Fleury's assisted on.
We see he's got a perfect line mate.
Yep. I mean, obviously it's all about the chemistry of the line, and Ed Courtney has to be there in the right place and whatever to finish, but I just think, Theo Fleury really was the catalyst for what's what Ed Courtney's been doing since really October time.
And what about Jason Ruff?
Jason Ruff kept us going in the start of the season, but the Jason Ruff thing basically is he's more than the most valuable player in my opinion. He's the most valuable He's the most valuable person rather than player. His input is more more than just what he does on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably, we've mentioned him, I think we've seen the difference it made just after he left due to the unfortunate injury. You know, the team just seemed to be a bit flat, and, you know, and obviously quite a bit of shock as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he would be more a guy. I don't think you can consider him because he only played half the season.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, it's unfortunate. And of that half a season, it's hard to tell how long, you know, how long he was injured for. Because for that last wee while he was playing, now, we were lucky that we saw his last games in Edinburgh when he scored, you know, the game-winning goal in Edinburgh and trailed the team from a losing position into a winning position,
mm-hmm.
which summed up, you know, basically Jason Ruff really quite well. But I just think it's unfortunate that he had to go when he did, and just the fact that he didn't quite complete the full season means that we can't really consider him for MVP.
Not controversial, but on the other hand, I'd say I'd maybe take the other view that because in that two-thirds, whatever it was, of the season that he played, he had us up there, and like you say, he was beyond the most valuable player. And when he left, there was a significant drop. Now, like I said, I've already cast my vote, and I can't cast it again. I could try. But I definitely see Jason Ruff as a contender, but then again, it's not up to me. If you want to cast your vote, just log on to www.kingdomofthegiants.com and go straight to the forum. And on the forum, Nev has the instructions up at the top of the Belfast Giants and Elite League forum. I think that's about us, Aaron.
Yep, I think it is. Don't want to keep you too long. Want to get you out to wherever it is you're heading.
Oh, wiki Whitehaven. Yes, the sprawling metropolis of Whitehaven, Cumbria. Lovely. Before we go, we'd just like to say thank you all for listening, and we've a couple of big things in the pipeline that are well worth tuning in for. Is that right, Aaron?
Yep, we're working on a few little bits and pieces which we hope to bring you over the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and I would say that there will be a lot of people interested in listening to it.
Yes, I hope so. Of course, if you want to get in touch with us here and give us any ideas or just general comments on the show, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
And of course, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
Okay, well, thanks for tuning in, and thanks again, Aaron.
Not a problem.
I'll speak to you next week, and we'll see you all next week on A View from the Bridge.
Goodbye.